missed the last one that we did here, be encouraged. Josh Tolley and his team, they make a way. If you can't afford to come, they don't close the door to anybody. And it's really powerful information that will challenge you and encourage you to know, amen, your best day is before you. And we're going to talk about this today, because the Business for Life seminar, amen, is a true message that sets you free. And also today we're going to be talking about, amen, finding your sweet spot in the Spirit. Amen. Anybody like to find your sweet spot in the Spirit? Anybody going through any challenges? Amen. Any frustration? Any battles? Any relationship issues? Amen. I want to encourage you today that God's plan for you is just like it was for Adam in the beginning, before he made a bad decision. Amen. Before the bad decision, Adam doesn't sweat. After the bad decision, he has to earn a living by the sweat of his brow. So if you really enjoy sweating, just stay outside your sweet spot. But if you want to stop sweating it, you want to get over the anxiety and the frustration, it's God's plan that we all step up, amen, in our true identity and be ministers, every one of you. Amen. Here today, as a gift to the house, amen, we have gifts here. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, amen, the gift of prophet, the gift of the apostle, the sent forth one. It's in the house, but amen, the gifts are here to equip you for the ministry of God's work. God wants you to step back into your redeemed identity. And when you're living in your identity, people want to be like the Jesus that's in you. Amen. Everybody around you, amen, God designed you to be attractive to them so that they can see him in you. And when you're in that place where people can't get enough of you, you're in your sweet spot. Amen. Does anybody want to be in that place where you predetermined you're not the hero, they're the hero? Pastor, okay, I've never heard that like that before. But amen, it's important that you know that we're on a mission. And it's not about us, it's about him and them. And when I make it about him and them, he makes it, amen, about me. And he takes care of me. The angels have already been given assignments today on your behalf. Did you know that? You're set up to win. You're not set up to lose. The only way you lose is you make the choice to be a loser. I've made that choice more than I want to talk about, but I have to talk about it today. And there's been a lot of loss in my life, amen, a lot of stories that are spooky in my life of trying to be a believer and follow Jesus. But it was all that stuff that looks like it's unfair that's going on, that was so necessary for me to get to the place and the right attitude so God could work on me. Amen? It's just like the potter and the clay. You got to break that clay down from its hard-headedness, beat it in the powder and add some water, some spirit to it, get it back, put it in the sack for about 3 weeks so that it becomes pliable and God can make a vessel of honor and love out of us. Amen. You are designed to operate in your sweet spot. And, you know, when we talk about sweet spots, there's several analogies that you can use today when you talk about that. But when people around you, they shouldn't ever get to the place where they have had enough of you. A pause for effect. When the people that are around you need to get away from you, it's because you're not in your original design and identity. Amen. And there's people that you and I, right here, that I prefer not to be around. Pause for effect. The ones that I prefer not to be around are the best ones for me. They do me more good than the words I prefer to be around. When I can get so relaxed and at ease around those that I want to repel, when I get to that place, I'm in my sweet spot. Amen. Yeah, this is good today, and we need this because you have a sweet spot in the Spirit that the Spirit is drawing you into. And He's drawing you every waking moment. When you get up in the morning, His mercies are made fresh. And His Spirit is wooing you in. And we all know He's doing that to all of us. And we haven't lived our best day yet, have we? So this is a spirit work. It's not a flesh work. You're not going to carnally and logistically figure this out. You can experience God's presence in such a way that you will know it and not understand it until understanding comes in time. Is that okay? And if you can be in your sweet spot, whether you understand it or not, is that all right by letting Him take control or letting Him have lead in our lives? I want to give you a definition, amen, of a sweet spot. And the categories can be business, it can be sports, it can be relational. Sweet spot touches a lot of things around us. And you can always tell when a sports, amen, player is in their sweet spot. You're not going to beat them that day. They just can't miss, right? And they're flowing in their sweet spot. You can also, it's like going to Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is in their sweet spot. That line never stops. It's a line all day long. They have discovered their sweet spot. Amen. In business. And I'll give you some illustrations here in a moment of that. But a sweet spot is that place where your greatest strengths and your personal power overlap with those areas where you find ease, where there's a little, there is little resistance or little stress. Let me say that again. A sweet spot is a place where your greatest strengths and personal power overlap with those areas, amen, where you find ease, where there's little resistance, where there's little stress. Amen. And once you've stepped into your sweet spot and you begin to realize that the resistance and the pressure that you're experiencing is just you. The problem isn't the people around you, it's the person in the mirror. Amen. Oh me. And so we know that at New Life Fellowship that for our community to be impacted, that we're not to be churchgoers, we're to be the church. Amen. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world when we're in our sweet spot. We're not just hosting God's presence. We walk in His presence. Everywhere we go, it oozes from us the evidence that He's King of His kingdom within. And from us, rivers of living water. Everything we say just blesses everybody around us. We don't get in arguments. We don't get in debates. We're not trying to make everybody join with me in my opinion. This is so important for you because the temptation for me to try to convince you need to share my opinion is not what God called me to do. And the reason I know that is because He didn't call me to reveal anything to anybody. He just called me to walk with Him and He would breathe the revelation to them. So that at the end, we would all say, look what the Lord has done, right? And we can't take credit for anything that's good because there's only one that's good, and that's God. But with God, when we decide to be joined with Him and connected with Him, all things are possible. You can step into your sweet spot and be an impact to every area of your world. Amen. And so when we realize that there's setbacks and there's anxiety and resistance, we begin to realize that, amen, what we were reaching after was only a mirage. Amen. The idea that if I can achieve this goal, but while I'm going, man, I'm frustrated. I'm beat up, man. It's like I'm working overtime to reach this thing that looks like the right thing, but it's only a mirage, because it's a signal when you're under stress and you're full of anxiety that you're not going the right direction. You're not in the ebb and flow of God's presence. You're not going with Him, because if you're going with Him, it's light and it's easy. Living for God is not hard. Amen. Connecting with Him, amen, you step into your true identity, your redeemed identity, and you win. Amen. Have you been invested in the lie so much that the truth couldn't get in and make you free? As serving great people, encouraging, because that's the thing that God has helped me understand my identity, is to be an encouragement to others. But I begin to realize that while God setting me free from some of the religious ideas that I've held in my heart, amen, and it has brought more freedom to my life, that He trusted me with the lies I believed. Why? Why would He trust me with the lies I believed? He needed me to get a revelation that, amen, that when I think something's right and I find out later it was just simple stinking thinking that was producing this fruit called anxiety and stress and unease, which is more like disease. When I begin to figure that out, I began to realize that, wow, and He mercifully allowed me to hold a lie in my life and serve people. Boy, He's good, isn't He? He'll use a donkey, won't He? Look, I'm not preaching at nobody here today. I am revealing to you the love of God that I've experienced in my own life. I'm revealing to you that if it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be? And because He trusted me with baggage that I would rather not have to be real about, He done that because He was in love with people. And He needed me to understand Him enough to be touched with the feeling of the next person's sorrow and pain and anxiety and stress. And so don't let, amen, the pressure of pressing for the prize wear you out. He's with you. He's not added that pressure. We've got biological parents that go all the way back to Ham, Shem, and Japheth that made decisions that caused a lot of the circumstances and baggage that we're carrying for the last millennials. Amen? And so the consequences that our world is suffering right now is not necessarily on this generation, but it's in our generation. And the sins of our father and all those things that happened then is still touching multiple lives. And even though Jesus Christ died the death and paid the debt off, not everybody's choosing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The moment you truly choose Him, the curse is broken. The lies are addressed. When you determine to know nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, all of a sudden enlightenment will come. Amen. Revelation will shower down on you. Every lie that you have embraced, that the enemy's been manipulating and puppeting your relationships, your business, the person in the mirror, the Lord begins to show you. You can experience love and know love in such a way that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing, 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 nothing. That lie can only hold you so long. Because sooner or later, you wear down. Sooner or later, enough's enough. Sooner or later, I don't know what else to do. And I really don't care what other people think right now because I need God. And when you get to the place where you're on the bottom and all you can do is look up. I know grandma said this and I know aunt and uncle said that and I know Uncle Joe said it this way, but I need God. And I need a download from heaven because I'm certainly not in my sweet spot when you're on the bottom. Correct? Amen. And so I can tell you personally, back in 86, when the recession hit our nation, South Mississippi got a double portion of that hit. And I'm born again. I am learning how to walk in the Spirit and learning how to trust God and put my faith in Him. I don't have it all worked out. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out today. And in case you are wondering, you know, well, Pastor, you got to. No, I don't. Every waking day, I need Jesus. And the only problem I got has never been people. It's always the person in the mirror. And if I can get him dealt with, I can step into my sweet spot and nobody can bother me. And I can love them while they're slapping me in the face. I can turn the other cheek. When you're in your sweet spot, you can turn the other cheek. You don't have to prove your point. Forgiven 490 times in one day, like Jesus says, look, hey, should I forgive my brother 7 times? No, 70 times 7. In one day, oh my God, I need God now. Because I'm having a problem doing it twice. Is anybody catching this today? In your sweet spot, 490 times, not a problem. Because it's not about that. It's about something else. And so in that recession, hey man, I'm thinking, because, you know, I'm intelligent at my age. I'm like 23 years old, and I'm intelligent. I'm just not smart. And I go to people in my life that have impacted me, and I'm letting them know what I feel like I need to do. And instead of seeking counsel, I'm telling them what I feel like I should be doing. Anybody ever done that before? In a multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. Now, the question is, am I going to seek counsel or not? That's the question. And when I seek counsel, I start with the right source. Jesus is the source. I start with Him. And if I really start with Him, guess what He's going to do? He's going to push me over here to the body, where the body members can minister to me and help me get a definite direction. But no, I'm intelligent. I know what's best. And instead of seeking counsel, I'm giving counsel to the ones that I should be receiving counsel from. And they graciously let me counsel them on what I think I should do. And they didn't resist it. They said, hey, we'll be praying for you. God bless you. And I'm thinking, man, I'm doing the right thing. This is the right. Anybody ever done that? I know this is the right thing to do. And I mean, 2 + 2 = 4, the recession shit. I need to move this direction and go do this. Because if I do this, I can take care of my family better. Okay, so you're going to take care of your family. Oh, okay. Let me know how that works out for you.
I know this is good, but as long as you're the hero and the mission is the people, they're the hero. As long as I'm the hero and you're not, I need you to recognize I'm the hero. That's not going to work out real good for me. But when I get in my sweet spot, it's interesting how you become the hero. It's interesting how valuable you become. And my role now is to serve you in a capacity that you arrive at your true identity in your sweet spot. The mission that God has given me today and He's given to His body is the mission of making sure, amen, that we give the message off, come unto Jesus and taste and see that the Lord is good. And if you ever get a taste that the Lord is good, you ain't gonna want to eat nothing else, because He's the bread that came down from heaven that makes a difference. And it took me in that recession time to get that download, y'all. Amen. That I wasn't eating the bread from heaven. I was eating some other kind of stale stuff. I was eating pig's food. Sometimes we make the prodigal something else. Prodigal can never be me. That's not possible. Not me. I can give you a few illustrations of who I think the prodigal is. Oh yeah, this is good. But it's amazing sometimes how that we'll go down and eat the things pigs eat and wonder why we're going through hell on earth. Wonder why our relationships are like about to explode. I believe in Jesus. I go to church. I read my Bible. My daddy happens to be a pastor or a believer, a minister. My grandma prays for me every day. I can't eat no pig's food. But the Lord will sit there and wait on us because He already owns us. We just hadn't accepted His love and yielded to the fact that He purchased us 2,000 years ago. He will wait on us to go on our journey of doing it our way, playing church, putting the religious mask on, living like, man, I'm a believer. And hadn't it interesting, anybody figured it out, this pandemic has kind of revealed Christianity? Christians are more worried than the world are. Pastor Lowe, be careful now. No, I'm not going to be careful for nothing today. Amen. And I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean that because I want to put the enemy under our feet. Jesus made a statement 2,000 years ago hanging on a cross that we're all guilty of putting Him on. And we're all guilty of rejecting Him and bringing Him to an open shame in some level or another. We've all eat from pig's food and thought it was from the master's table. Well, if it was, it was on the master table a few days before. It ain't worth eating now. Stale bread ain't no good for me. I need hot bread from heaven, and Jesus is that bread. He or she that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of their bellies going to flow rivers of living water. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Amen. Jesus is trying to let us know, my sheep hear my voice. Come on. I know them. They follow. Come on. He knows us. And when you let Him know you, He empowers you to follow Him. He empowers you to step into your sweet spot. So here I am in that recession, and I'm learning something about the fact that I'm not in charge. But I'm acting like I am. And I'm going to church, and I'm helping a ministry, amen, where I went. And it may have been God's will for me to go had I sought counsel. I don't know. All I know is I didn't seek counsel. I went my own way. I got my own personal counsel, and I come up with my own conclusion, and I went. And so I'm not happy. Anybody ever been, especially like if something's not right? And I'm doing all the church things, and I'm helping, and I'm serving, and there's food on the table. But I'm not happy. My wife's not happy. Everybody's kind of like uptight, and it just don't feel right there. It don't feel, it's just, And I'm saying, Lord, I don't know. Okay, did I miss something here? I thought you were talking to me. And he wasn't saying a word to me because I wasn't letting him talk. I was doing all the talking. Remember how, you know, that teacher that says, look, if you're talking, that means I'm not talking. And if I'm not talking, that means you're talking and you're not listening. And if you ain't listening, you ain't learning nothing. And so I got to a place where, okay, Daddy, I'm listening because I don't know what to do. Even though you're taking care of us and you're working with what I give you to work with, something's not right. And he met me in my dreams and gave me a wake-up call. One night, got up, I said, honey, man, I know we're supposed to get back where we belong. And she's like, oh, thank you. Well, why don't you tell me something? You wouldn't listen to me neither. I hate to have to admit that. But then the next night, I lay down and I have another vision. And to most of the Christian world, me talking about this is like, I don't know about that. That's where you're missing it. I'm just going to tell you that the gospel message comes with boys and girls that have dreams and visions. Right? I know some of them, you know, old men dream dreams. Okay, I got you. All right, push me. But I was still young then, so I was having a vision. And I got back the same night that the one that has impacted my life, my foster father, is resigning the church and he's leaving town. And I didn't know that. And while I'm in my vision, I hadn't planned to do this, y'all, but I'm being upfront and honest with you. God got my attention. In my vision, I see a man that looks like a prophet on a road. And he has a sword in his hand. And I'm up here, I'm looking down, I can see it, and I see a bright light at the end of what looks to be the end of that road. And that prophet started walking, and then I saw darkness come up on him. And I mean, it pressed down on him, and he pull that sword up. When he got that sword up, the darkness backed away. And so I watched him, amen, walk, and then he would lay that sword down to the side, and then darkness would come, and it would press him, and then he would get that sword back up. And I watched that for I don't know how long, enough to get the revelation, you need to put that sword up and keep it up, man. And he walks into the light. And when he walks into the light, I'm standing there now with the sword on that same road. But in my left hand is a cup. And immediately that darkness that I saw come on here, I didn't feel anything. I just saw him battle. I feel it now. And it is intense. It's resistance. And all kind of emotions are coming with it. And it's like pushing. And I think, get the sword up, dummy. And I start getting that sword up, and as I bring that sword up, the cup comes to my mouth. And so as I hold that sword up, I'm having a drink from that cup. But man, it's light and easy. And I'm able to walk. I don't know what got into my head. I let the sword down. And boom, anybody knows what gets in our head when we let the sword down? Which is the word of God. I'm not talking about the written letter. I'm talking about he or she that has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Y'all got to catch that. If you miss that, you miss it all. Read your Bible, but read your Bible with an open spirit so that the voice of God becomes real. Because the letter will kill you if the spirit is not used in it. Got to catch this. And so, just hard-headed. I don't need no counsel. I can make this. I can get to the light. Drop that thing down. I got it. And then darkness. It's been that vision's like 30 years old. And I'm still getting revelation on what God was saying to me through that night vision. I'm getting revelation right now. He's telling me the message that I've given you to give my children. It was in that vision, son. You want to remain in your sweet spot? Keep the word of God up and, amen, partake of me. Come on, not your will, son. Drink it, my will. It's easy and it's light. It don't look that way. It looks like it's too hard. Your will, Lord. Man, I don't want to walk like you. Well, you got beat up. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by... What's the difference between a child of Abraham and a child of the devil? Faith. Abraham was the father of... Anybody want to be the child of Abraham? Come on, he said, which children ye are, if you believe. Who's the seed? Not Isaac, but Christ is the seed. And if your identity be Christ, here we go now. Faith, faith. The only thing that can please God is faith. And faith comes by hearing, not Dwayne Lowe, but you hearing your daddy speak to you. I know that I'm confirming to several here today, this thing is light and easy, but it comes through an experience of getting your ears open and paying attention to the counselor. He's the counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. The government is upon His shoulders. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be a part of that body that carries that kind of government. Amen? And so, keep the sword up, Dwayne. Oh, no. I got it. And I don't know how long that journey lasted in my vision. It lasted to the light. Y'all, I didn't walk into the light like the other guy did. I crawled into it. I literally, how hard-headed can you get? Now, y'all are coming to an assembly here with a hard-headed preacher. That's what I'm, but God loved me. I made it to the light. And when I come out of it, I was standing up in that king-size bed with my hands lifted. And the baptism of God's Spirit was just bubbling out of me. I was standing up, my wife was laying over asleep. And I'm standing up in the middle of bed, and I'm having an experience from heaven. And while it's going on, my foster father is residing in the church. And all that was in God's will. Because when I found out, I meet it here, I'm back in my drop. So I got it, I'm following him. That's my... We tight. I didn't ask the Lord about it, but when I went to prayer after that vision, I said, Lord, you're trying to tell me something. What are you trying to tell me? And when I got soft enough and pliable enough, he spoke to you, said, you're not going nowhere. I'm going to work with you right here, and when it's time for you to go, I'll send you out, and I will confirm it, and I will validate it, and it will be a celebration. I mean, you just can't tell me and I do what I want to when I want to? He said, son, you want to be in your sweet spot, keep the word of God up. Amen. Not your will. Come on, keep that cup to the mouth. My will be done. Now, there's three very key important elements to having a sweet spot. If you're in the business world, it's passion, it's talent, and it's resources. Some of you say money, some of you value, that you can use to be an engine. But I'd like to prefer the passion and the mission or the talent to be the engine. You're just taking a resource and letting it work on behalf. But keep this in mind. If all you have is passion and talent, and you don't know how to utilize the resource right, all you got is a hobby. And if all you have is passion and resources, but you don't know your gifting, you're going to fail. And if all you've got is a gifting and you've got resources, but you don't know your passion, you're going to be bored. In business, that's the way it is. There's people that's doing business right now, making money and bored as they can be. They got so much money they don't know how to burn it, but they're not happy and their marriage is broken and they've gained the world, but they've lost their soul because they never found their sweet spot. But I want to challenge you from the sweet spot in the spirit, because identity is important. And you don't just find identity one day. You just happened up on identity. Identity comes out of relationship. Identity comes out of trial and error, challenges that you face. And it goes back to the vision that I shared with you that happened to me for God to get my attention and get me ready to come to South Texas. I need to go through all that so y'all can put up with a hard-headed preacher. That I didn't know the Lord's going to get me transparent and start telling all my mess ups. Because I was taught by the ministry, you can't show your flaw. You can't let them see your weakness because they'll lose faith in you. And I'm thinking, well, something ain't right about that, because I'd like to know what you challenged with, because, man, I'm challenged with some stuff. And to get the ministry to be honest with you, with me, and my generation about where they've been and how they won the battle, they just wouldn't say anything. And I'm a baby boomer. And I needed that generation before me to talk to me about what to do with what we're facing. And so it's been a process for now. I better understand my vision. Being hard-headed, you know, I'm not going to trust God. I got it. And it just, I was totally humbled when I went into that light. But it's what had to happen to me. It's what's going to happen to many of us when we're dealing with stress and we're dealing with anxiety and frustration. But from a spiritual standpoint, you've got to know your identity. That don't just happen, y'all. That's something that you cultivate. Amen. And you need people in your life, amen, that can get real with you and have real talk, that you're accountable to, that you're vulnerable. So you can find out about you and who you truly are. Adam cannot take care of God's garden, his kingdom, unless he's vulnerable. He only says what he hears his father say. He only does what he sees his father do. That's redeemed Adam. That's what Jesus came in flesh as the Son of God to show us who we really are. But once you identify, amen, the fact that, this is who I am, then mission becomes important. The mission becomes so valid. And ladies and gentlemen, for me to help people, I had to come to realize that my gifting was to encourage people. And that when I'm encouraging some people, when I'm someone, I lose awareness of time, unless my wife has told me, you better be home at this time. And I let them know, I just want you to know, my other half that I really need in my life, I need to leave at this time. But I can hang out and encourage and stay there, because it's just, And the Lord will come to me and talk to me about things I have no clue about, but the person I'm encouraging, they have it like, my God, man, Daddy's already said that to me. This is a confirmation. You're validating. And I like being there because I'm in my sweet spot. And I'm not under no pressure. When I'm being used by heaven to help somebody, it's like all worries go gone. I mean, time stops. This is it. Now, I remember a time that my son Dathan was getting beat up by my older son Devin in basketball. And he come to me one day. My older son never come counsel. I just beat him up in basketball, and he learned how to deal with it. And he got good dealing with the fact that I wouldn't let him get the shot off. He got figuring out ways to get the shot off, and he got good with it. But Dathan said, I can't be, he beats me every time, Daddy. I need some help. I said, are you asking me to show you how to beat Devin? Would you? By all means, you ask, you shall receive. And so I'm here, time stops. I'm helping my second son understand the game of basketball, how to block out, amen, how to use his body as for an advantage, and how to, you know, get every rebound if he wants it. And I mean, and I'm working him out. And I said, don't play Devin for the next 3 weeks. Just say no when he asks you to play. Don't play. And you go out there and you practice. When he's not around, you go practice. You do what I'm telling you to do. And I promise you, you will beat him. And sure enough, 3 weeks was up, and Dathan said, you want to play some ball, Devin? Oh, yeah, I'll take you out now. Get ready for another whooping. And it wasn't but, you know, less than 30 minutes. Devin's coming in the house and, Dad, I don't know what happened, but I ain't beat that guy yet. He beats me every game. Being serious with you, did you know you can beat the devil like that? And I'm not calling Devin a devil. Devin's an awesome man of God. But what an illustration of how you can put the enemy under your feet. I don't know that Devin's ever beat Dathan since. I don't know. I hadn't asked him that question. But I got a funny feeling. Dathan paid him back, and he's still paying him back. That's why I had to carry the courage and play on the same team and love one another. But this is where we are, y'all. We're at a place where we're called to be winners. He set us up to win, not to lose. And when you get your identity in place, and when you begin to realize what the mission is, amen, then you begin to realize that the resources belong to Him. And He's already provided everything you need. It's getting this. Somebody said, well, I don't have enough. Yes, you do. If you've got little, it's much when God's in it. If you only have little, it's much when God's in it. What are we trying to say, Pastor? I'm saying this. If you're faithful over little, He'll make you ruler over much. And it won't be people you're ruling over. Hello? Because the hero is not you. The hero is who you serve. And you're serving them into their sweet spot. Now, some of you have got personalities that are in your life that you just don't know what to do with them. And, yeah, I see all you spouses pointing at one another. Ain't no, that's okay. Let's be honest, be transparent. When I give my wife to Him, He works on her. When she gives me to Him, He works on me. My wife has found a secret out. I'm going to tell Daddy on you if you don't straighten up. When we figure out who the hero is, we know it's Jesus Christ. But the only way that I can give Him His props is how I serve you. How I treat you is telling Him everything about how I love Him. And when anyone is rubbing my proverbial fur the wrong way, they're the most important person in my life in the moment. I need them more than I can imagine. And if I run from the process, I'm running into more trouble. And I'm going to eat more pig slop that looks like Jesus and it ain't Him. It sounds like God's word, but it's not His word. But the beautiful thing about God's plan, He set us up to win. Even if you're in the pig's pen, the beautiful thing about that story, if that's where you're at, you'll come to your senses eventually. Because you'll get enough. You'll get enough of it. And when enough, when you've had enough, okay, here I am, Lord. Do what you got to do. I'm going to quit fussing because I can't figure out how you do what you do. And so we have an event, and I'm gonna close with this thought here. As they said, he pulls on his britches when he's stepping down. So they're messing with me now. Just want to see how I look in high waters. But in Acts chapter 4, after they had been filled with the Spirit, this is good for Spirit-filled group here. Let's experience the baptism of God's Spirit. It wowed you, but all of a sudden you're on the next level of being made. And they heard the remarks of the religious group saying, look, if you preach in his name, we're gonna take you out just like we took him out. And fear came upon them. Anybody had to deal with fear and anxiety before? Whatever the frustrations are, they come together and they got honest and transparent with one another. And they talked about what they'd been hearing. And they all agreed together. Come on, when you start getting agreement on something, if you touch any one thing, you agree on it, and you go with it together, the Lord said, I'll do it. They agreed, it's time to pray. And they prayed. And when they prayed together, the scripture says, and the place was shaken. And the Spirit came, just like it did in Acts 2, fell upon them. And they were all refilled again because they needed to stir it up again and pray in the Spirit. And when they done that, boldness came upon them. This is really good for Christianity right now. Look, I'm telling you, we're worried about some things going on in our world that we should be worried about. Just like they wasn't supposed to be worried about what the religious group, they don't, I'm going to kill you if you preach in his name. Well, that sounds like something we need to be worried about. I don't want to die yet. And logically, that would be something we would worry about. But the Lord said, uh-uh. And we're worried about the fact that there's no prayer in school. Anybody worried about that? Can I encourage you? Get over it. What are you saying, Pastor? We shouldn't pray. No. Hold for it. Anybody worried about the fact that you can't go to work tomorrow and preach the gospel while you're working? But you might get fired. You want to talk about it? But after we get through talking, we're going to pray and ask the Lord what he thinks about it. He ain't worried about anything the government says you can or can't do. It don't bother him. He's in charge. He owns them. He just wants to know, do you understand that? And I'm going to just tell you, our Christian world thinks the government's in charge. They really do. And they're so, and I'm encouraged, go vote. And vote who God tells you to vote for. But be sure you understand this. Jesus is the one sitting on the throne. And there's only one sitting on the throne. And when you begin to look at really who he is, there's nothing in this universe that can compete with because it's within him. He chose you as the apple of his eye. He just wants you to know when you're going to agree with him. Because his report's what matters. Their report don't mean a hill of beans. His report is what matters. The doctor that's told you you got this problem in your body, his report don't matter. God's report's what matters. He made a clear statement on the cross 2,000 years ago, and he's not changing his message. By his stripes, every disease, every sickness, every ailment, or he is the biggest liar in the universe. He can't lie. Just when we're going to agree with him. And so because I'm seeking more intelligence and the more I want to operate through logic, worry shows up. When's the first time you worried about something? Anybody want to? When did that worry begin? I can trace mine back all the way back to mommy and daddy, and I didn't want to offend mommy or daddy because I might get a spanking. And so all of a sudden, I began to worry about what I did in the house. because I certainly didn't want the heat on the backside. But Daddy done that because he loved me. But there were some other things in how he handled it. He created a dynamic that caused me to worry. And so the next thing you know, I'm having stress, I'm having anxiety, and I don't realize, and I just adopted going to church. This is so good for us today. So I'm challenging you right now. Find out how those things land in your life. When did it start? And you'll identify the enemy as trying to puppet you. When our children go to school, if we're being the parents we're designed to be, we're the youth pastors, parents of our home, when we train up the children in the way they should go as parents, when they go to school, it don't matter that they can't pray in school. They are a prayer meeting when they show up at school. They pray without ceasing. And they're not in nobody's face. They're hosting God. We can teach our children to be in their sweet spot when they're kids. The fact that the law says they can't pray at the school don't mean a hill of beans. When you're in your identity, Jesus can walk through walls. Jesus can maneuver through every obstacle and get to the other side with no problem. And he called you into that identity so that you would walk with him and maneuver around all that stuff and be the salt of the earth. The children at the school should be so attracted at your kids because there's something about your kids they just can't get enough of because they see something about them they need. And that starts at home, getting our house in order. And the fact that you can't go to work and preach the gospel, why should that bother you? You are the gospel. When you show up, you are the light. You're in your sweet spot. You ain't quoted the scripture yet. But out of your mouth is blessing and not curses. Encouragement. Build and strengthen the people. And they don't even know, they don't even have a clue that's Jesus doing it. They know it's, I don't know what you got, but I got to have it. And you become the gospel. Today, I declare that this body get over the ugly going on in our world. The victory was won 2,000 years ago. The victory was won 2,000 years ago. When are we going to stand up? The real Jesus in this room, stand up. That's what we're talking about. Are you going to be the real Jesus? Pastor, what are you trying to say? That's why you're baptized into his name. It's not about going to heaven or hell. It's about identity. It's about being who he designed you to be. We're not called to worry about our politics and our world. We're called to be the salt of the earth and impact our politics. The president, the mayor, the governor should be calling you to come pray, amen, at their meetings. And I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen when we step into our true identity. They can't get enough of us. Because we are bearing something that there's no law against. And that's love. That's gentleness. It's kindness. It's temperance. It's long-suffering. Come on, there's no law against this. Everybody's attracted to this. That's Jesus. We don't produce it. We carry it. When I'm in my sweet spot, that's what I'm carrying. Could we stand?